It's time now for Minds Over Matter, the Bay Area's favorite quiz show. Today, moderator Dana Rodriguez is joined by two panelists, educator Lori Fisher and technical editor Kira Pace. And now, here's your host, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, Joanne, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're having a lovely Saturday morning, and we do hope you can spare us an hour of your time today, because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program, so what we are looking for is your participation. We'd love to hear from you, so feel free to call. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134, or toll-free. Yes, we do have a toll-free number, 866-798-8255. Again, that is 866-798-8255. We'll be taking questions on just about every subject, except a couple maybe. And also want to remind you that there is an email address that you can contact us with, and you can do that during the show or not during the show. And that address is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. So that is MINDSOVERMATTER1. That is the numeral one, mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. Of course, you can hear us in live stream at kalw.org. And since Joanne is here, she'll do her usual fine job putting up our podcast, and that should be up at some point later in the day. And that will also be at kalw.org and many, many other places, but start with KALW. Again, the two numbers to join us. And we're happy that you email us, but we're even more happy when you call, because we enjoy talking to you in person. And again, those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Or toll-free, 866-798-8255. This being Labor Day weekend, I don't know, maybe some of you are out of town, some of our regular listeners. I hope not. Well, I mean, I hope if you are out of town, you're listening. But feel free to give us a call. Early in the show is always the best time. So, a word to the wise there. We're going to start with a round of introductions and then a round of questions. And here's the first. Kira Pace is looking forward to enjoying the fruits of hundreds of hours of her labor when she releases her 8th online something to do today at noon.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
You've been in labor a long time, haven't you?
Yeah.
How do we get access to that?
Well, if you want to take a look at it, it is at beefbot.com/somethings-to-do with those words hyphenated. So somethings-to-do. The new one is something to do number 8. It's at the top of the list, and it comes out at noon.
By your pal, Kira Pace.
Yeah. If you like to do online puzzles that require you looking for clues in things like source code, this is your thing. So Lori Fisher intends to take full advantage of Labor Day by not working for even 1 minute this Monday. He hopes you can join him in doing nothing at all.
I do. And our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, will spend the weekend laboring under misapprehension.
Yep. And we'll begin the questioning with Kira Pace.
I have a harder one and an easier one. Let's do the harder one now. No, let's do the easier one now. I am going to give you the names of some former or current house brands. You tell me the retailer. So a house brand is, it's like a private label generic version that is sold by a retailer. I think some of these will be very recognizable. So if you don't understand house brand, you're about to when I read this list.
So the cheaper version of everything.
What 40 years ago might have come in a white box with black Helvetica script now has a house brand name.
How many are you getting?
I've got 10 because I think a lot of these are going to be recognizable. So here they are. Number one is Kirkland. Number two, Market Pantry. Number 3, Great Value. Number 4 is Kenmore. Number 5, Friendly Farms. Number 6 is Members Mark. Number 7 is Happy Belly. Number 8 is Glacier Bay. Number 9 is O Organics. And number 10 is Clover Valley. And I went through those kind of quickly. I'll go through them again. Kirkland, Market Pantry, Great Value, Kenmore, Friendly Farms, Members Mark, Happy Belly, Glacier Bay, O Organics, and Clover Valley. Again, some former or current house brands. You tell me the name of the retailer. So I'll give you 2 each.
Well, I think...
All right, Laura, you go ahead.
Yeah, I'll take one. I'm pretty sure Kenmore belonged to Sears when it used to be Sears and Roebuck.
That is correct.
Yeah. Kenmore. I don't know what happened. There's now Ken Less, I guess. But anyway, go ahead, Dana.
Well, of course, when I buy my toilet paper in bulk, I buy Kirkland. So... I am brand loyal to a few things, and their Kirkland paper towels are definitely one of them. So where
you haven't said where
Costco.
You get them?
Costco.
Okay. Costco.
Yeah. Organics. I think this is a question for Dana. I think it's either Whole Foods or Safeway.
Which one? I'm sorry, Lori. Which one?
O Organics. The in-house brand.
I think that's Safeway. I believe I've seen that.
Safeway. Yes. Organics is Safeway. That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think I know most of them here, but I won't do that. But Friendly Farms is the only one I'm not particularly, know. The Great Value is, that's Walmart, isn't it?
Great Value is Walmart.
Yeah, right.
All right. So we'll leave the other 6 out for the audience. And those are Market Pantry, Friendly Farms, Members Mark, Happy Belly, Glacier Bay, and Clover Valley.
All your white trash favorites.
comment.
That's all right. I'm including myself in that. So let's see. All right. You said you had 2 questions, but you're going to ask that one. That's it for the moment?
Yeah. Well, the other one is a list question. So it's also a list question. So.
Down the road.
Yeah. I'll ask that as my next question. It's a little harder.
All right. And by the way, CM just emailed and suggested that Members Mark is Kroger. Is that?
That is not what I have.
All right. Okay.
All right.
And Laura, you go ahead.
All right. Well, I have a semi-sports related question, which I think is appropriate given the Paralympics. So all of these are related to the Paralympics, which are going on right now and really quite wonderful. I have 5 questions. The first is, what's considered the official birth date and place of the Paralympics? When did it become paired with the traditional Olympics? That's question 1. As far as I can tell, there's only 2 sports that are in the Paralympics that are not in the traditional Olympics. What are they? Number 3 is, you may have seen people playing hoop basketball. In traditional basketball, the hoop is 10 feet tall. Within 10%, how tall is the hoop in wheelchair basketball? Number 4 is, you might have seen one group of athletes who don't fly under a country's banner. They fly under the NPA banner. What's the NPA stand for and why do they have it? And last is, if you've seen the symbol of the Paralympics, it's 3 wavy lines, and that the Latin word associated with it is agitos. What does agitos mean? So the birthplace and birth date of the Paralympics, 2 sports in the Paralympics that are not in the traditional. Number 3 is, what's the height of the hoop in wheelchair basketball? Number 4 is, the NPA banner stands for what and why do they have it? And the symbol of the Paralympics is 3 wavy lines that are called agitos in Latin. What's that mean?
Real quick, are you saying M like Michael or N like Nancy? Is it MPA or NPA?
It's N like in Nancy. Okay. And P like in Paul and A like in Apple. NPA. Okay. Yeah.
NPA, got it. Well,
one or so each. Go ahead.
How many each?
Yeah, as many as 1 or 2.
I mean, I can do the sports for the Paralympics only. I don't know, Dana, what you have.
No, you go ahead. I'm not.
Okay.
I thought that was the hardest question, so let's hear what he got.
Oh, okay. One of them is goal ball, and that is, I think it's for blind athletes, and you have to be very quiet as an audience, right?
That's correct. And the ball has a sensor in it that makes noise.
Yeah.
So the goalie has to hear the ball coming in order to react to it. So it's a blind version of kind of handball. Very good. What's the other one?
And the other one, I'm going to get the last letter wrong because it's basic. It's like bocce, but it's a bocce. Is it bacha?
It's baccia. B-O-C-C-I-A.
It's good. That's actually how I spelled it on my card.
Yeah,
so.
That is absolutely right. It's kind of bocce ball, kind of shuffleboard. And it's for the most severely disabled athletes. It's really quite kind of cool if you look it up. Excellent. Dana, you got one?
Run down your questions once more for me.
Birthplace and date of the Paralympics. The athletes under the N, like a Nancy P.A. banner. How come? The height of wheelchair basketball, the actual basketball hoop, and agitos, which is the motto of the Olympics in Latin with the three wavy lines. What's it stand
for?
Well,
the motto, again, I'm not sure about the translation, and maybe the motto I'm thinking of is different from what that is. But I always heard it was spirit in motion is what the motto is.
Give yourself a bell. It's officially, according to what I read, I move. So the motion is the key to it.
Okay.
I move.
Very and the good. First one that I recall reading about was in Rome.
Correct.
In 1960, around the 1960 Olympics. You know, when
yeah. Was they've been paired together in the same city since 1960 in Rome. Very good.
Right.
So we're looking for the height of the wheelchair basketball hoop, and we're looking for what NPA stands for and why do they have it?
The height of the hoop. So, well, I mean, it's obviously it's shorter than the regular hoop, but I will say 10 feet.
10 feet is the regulation?
No, 10 feet is my guess.
Yeah, no, but I want to make clear, 10 feet is what the regulation hoop is. You're saying it's the same?
Yeah.
It is. It's the exact same height. There's no difference at all. Very good. All right. Carrie, you got NPA?
Non-affiliated Paralympic athletes.
Yeah, well, that makes sense.
You know what? Bell for that one. It's neutral Paralympic athletes.
And was the only one I didn't know. Yeah. PNA were pretty obvious, but... Is it for people? Is it basically not like the one that isn't refugee? It's ones who are from countries that can't otherwise compete.
Correct.
Like Russia, Belarus, I guess.
Those are the ones. Russia and Belarus are banned, and they are competing under a neutral banner called NPA, which is Neutral Paralympic Athletes. You ran the board, gang. Very good on the non-sports
All
questions.
Right. Okay. Do you want to give us a quick second question if you want?
I'll wait. Let's
All
get
right.
to the
okay.
Oh, thanks.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. We would love to hear from you. Feel free to give us a call. I think we have a couple of lines open at area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134. Or toll free, 866-798-8255. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Stefan from Noe Valley.
Oh, hi, Stefan. Nice to hear from you.
Thank you. Happy Labor Day weekend.
Thank you. You too.
I have a question, or I have a comment to make. This is not political. It's actually non-political. It's a factual comment, but there's something very peculiar about J.D. Vance. And I'm wondering, this is a factual...
Something weird, you might say?
You mean... He only found one thing?
Peculiar about J.D. Vance. And I'm wondering if you might know what it is. Not about him as a person, but how he looks.
Oh, there's so many. Are you using the word peculiar rather than weird on purpose?
Yes.
Okay.
So is the key here the unique. Word peculiar?
Unique. Like actually unique.
Okay.
And you mean actually unique. He's the only person who has this feature or whatever it is.
Possibly, yes.
Possibly.
And is this feature obvious in a way when you just look at him?
Yes.
And well, he has a beard. Is that what you're thinking?
That's not unique.
Yes.
But he has a beard. I mean, he's a nominee for a major party candidacy, and he has a beard.
Right. So he has a full beard and a mustache.
Right.
And I looked up. Wikipedia has a page of vice presidents in office and their portraits, their official portraits. And going off of that, I counted up how many actual vice presidents have ever had facial hair. And so if J.D. Vance were to become vice president, he would fall into a very small subset of vice presidents who have had facial hair. And I found that really interesting. Style-wise, Americans haven't elected someone to an office, either president or vice president, who had copious facial hair in quite a while.
Right.
And so I'm wondering if you know how many other vice presidents have had a full beard and mustache.
Well, that sort of thing was more popular at the second half of the 19th century. And that went out of fashion by very early in the 20th century. I'm trying to think. Mustaches are a little more common. I think the President Hoover's vice president had a mustache, I believe, Curtis. And, of course...
Is that right?
I believe so.
Yes, and Curtis was the last one, the most recent one, to have a mustache. No beard, just mustache.
Right. And I'm trying to think... And then Charles Fairbanks had a mustache, who was Roosevelt's vice president,
yes.
I believe.
Yeah.
And then Wilson, Woodrow Wilson's vice president had a mustache. Marshall.
Mustache. Marshall.
And then, how about Nixon's 5 o'clock shadow? You're not counting?
No, not that.
No.
Thought I'd sneak it in.
You know, it's interesting you do this question. First of all, I like this kind of question, and I appreciate the research you put into it. Because something similar occurred to me, and I was looking up the last president and vice president who both had beards for a while, for some reason. I think I was going to use it on the show. And so that goes back to the 19th century, and that was Grant and Schuyler Colfax.
Correct. So
where they both had
Colfax, beard. In my research, Colfax, he had a beard but no mustache. At least
that
in
is true. That is
photo.
True.
So, and in fact, what I was saying about J.D. Vance being unique and peculiar looking is that he's the only one who, at least currently, and I assume if he were to achieve office, would have a full beard and a mustache. There's only been one vice president who had a beard and no mustache, and that's Schuyler Colfax. And then there were seven vice presidents with just a mustache. And the span of years, it's true, he said there was a time when that was a popular look. It spanned 52 years from Chester Arthur, who was James Garfield's vice president in 1981, to Charles Curtis, who his last year in office was 1933. And there's kind of an outlier there. Martin Van Buren, he had mutton chops. That's not really either one. It's just on the sides. You know, it's not no facial hair as far as like no mustache, no beard, but he had like those really large mutton chops. So that's basically it.
Well, for good or bad, I think you and I think along parallel lines. So. thank
Real
you.
House.
I like that kind of question. So I appreciate it.
Thanks. Actually, I had another comment. Kira, your house brands, you omitted one that I was waiting to hear in your list, and that's Lady Lee.
Lady Lee is, that's not Kroger. Is that Loblaw?
No.
Or is it Kroger?
Is that Albertsons or no?
Could be.
No.
Not Albertsons. No,
It's a grocery store that's not in this area, in the Bay Area, isn't it?
Actually, well, it is. When I was growing up in Davis. We went to it all the time. That's why I know the name.
And it's not Kroger, and it's not Loblaw.
The fact that it has an L might give it away.
Oh, is it Lucky?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh.
Okay.
Nice. Yeah, I grew up thinking Lady Lee was like a person, you know, because she was everywhere. So
she still is.
All right. No, okay. Lucky is definitely still in the Bay Area. So, sorry about that.
Yeah, I thought so. Yeah, wasn't sure. All right. Well, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Stefan. I always like your questions. Take it easy.
All right. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. We enjoy hearing from you in particular. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Or toll-free, 866-798-8255. Our panel today, that would, of course, be Kira Pace, technical editor, and Lori Fisher, teaches at Abbo Valley College. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That is KALW, your local public radio station. All right, my turn here. Let me ask a couple questions. So, of the six flattest cities in the United States, two are in California, and by flat, I mean the least variation between highest and lowest points, no real hills, et cetera, et cetera. So what are the two cities in California? Now, these are cities. These aren't little towns. Of the six flattest cities in the U.S., two are in California, so I'm looking for the two that are in California.
Kara, what do you have?
No idea. I don't even know. Like, I'd just be guessing. Like, I don't know how hilly, say, San Diego is. So I'm just going to guess San Diego.
No.
Okay.
Anything on the coast, I don't think. That would be
no, near the these coast. Are not on the coast. Yeah. I will grant you that.
Oh, the first thing that leapt to mind was Bakersfield.
Yeah, you know, that would be a good guess, except that there are a bunch of hills around Bakersfield.
That are part of the city. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Then my other guess would be kind of Fresno. No.
Fresno is one of them.
Oh, nice.
Good job. All right. So once more, of the six flattest cities in the U.S., two are in California. So what are the two in California? And Lori got Fresno, which is one of them. What is the other? All right. Next. If you were to dig straight through the center of the Earth, and I can't think of a bigger time waster than that. If you were to dig straight through the center of the Earth, starting in Auckland, New Zealand, what other English-speaking area would you end up in?
Ooh.
If you were to dig straight through the center of the Earth, starting in Auckland, New Zealand, what other English-speaking area would you end up in?
Is it Newfoundland?
It is not Newfoundland.
We within 1,000 miles at Newfoundland?
That sounds no, you are not within 1,000 miles.
And you said English speaking area, so you didn't say country, but I assume that was intentional. So,
well, it just wanted to draw together that they're both spoke English there.
So Kira, would Alaska be crazy?
I don't think it's far enough. So New Zealand, okay, let's put this together. It's fairly far south, and it is, let's see, it's toward the, like, it's, we're moving toward the international line, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Right, so we want something that's
closer.
A little closer southerner. To the, right, so a little, you know, fairly far north and close-ish, you know, I guess not that close, but kind of close to the prime meridian.
All right, well, think it over. Okay. One more question after this. Okay. But I'll just repeat it for everybody. Of the six flattest, first question, the six flattest cities in the U.S., two are in California, and Lori got Fresno. That is one. What is the other? And the other one is a city, not a little town. If you were to dig straight through the center of the Earth, starting in Auckland, New Zealand, what other English-speaking area would you end up in? And if you would not be in the middle of the, you would not be in the middle of the ocean or anything. You would be in a land area. All right, last question I'm going to ask, just to get this out of the way. A few weeks ago, maybe a month, I don't remember, I gave you a list of some film remakes. So what I did was I gave you the two actors, the actor who had been the original and then in the remake, and I want you to tell me what the film is. And I believe they all have the same title, the original and the remake. So I'll give you a few more of those. So
the actors played the same role, correct?
Same role, yes, exactly the same role. So number one, Robert Donat and Kenneth Moore. Remember, I'm giving you the original and the remake with the same title. Robert Donat and Kenneth Moore. Number two, James Brolin and Ryan Reynolds. Number three, Allison Hayes and Lily Tomlin. Number four, Steve McQueen and Kevin Dillon. Number five, Judy Holliday. I wrote down Billy. Judy Holliday and Melanie Griffith. And last, not because it's any good, but because it's kind of memorable, Laurence Olivier and Liam Neeson. So again, these are all remakes. The same title. I gave you the original actor and the actor in the remake of the in the same role, and with the same title. Number one, Robert Donat and Kenneth Moore. Number two, James Brolin and Ryan Reynolds. Number three, Allison Hayes and Lily Tomlin. Number four, Steve McQueen and Kevin Dillon. Number five, Judy Holliday and Melanie Griffith. And number six, Laurence Olivier and Liam Neeson. I'll give you each a guess. Wow.
Well, none of them leap up to me. Do you have any for sure, Kira?
For sure, no. But wasn't Born Yesterday a remake? So that'll be my guess for Melanie Griffith.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Hey. All right, we got one.
Judy Holliday and Melanie Griffith.
I didn't know they remade it.
They did.
Seems like good casting.
Yeah, I think most people didn't know they remade it.
Yeah.
Make much money.
The one, I don't know. I don't think this is right, but did Robert Donat and Moore both play in a version of Goodbye, Mr. Chips?
No. Nope. Not that.
James Brolin. I'm trying to think of his movie
career. Oh, you're going to kill. You're going to be upset when you figure that out.
With Ryan Reynolds. All right. And also, we should know the Steve McQueen one. What did they remake of Steve McQueen?
Yeah, you should know.
Yeah, they did the Thomas Crown Affair, but he wasn't. That was Pierce Brosnan, I think.
I'll just give you the list just once more. These are film remakes. I give you the original actor and the actor in the remake playing the same role, same title. Robert Donat, Kenneth Moore, James Brolin and Ryan Reynolds, Allison Hayes and Lily Tomlin, Steve McQueen and Kevin Dillon, and Laurence Olivier and Liam Neeson.
So just out of curiosity, was The Incredible Shrinking Woman a remake?
It was.
Are you serious? Did the first one have that person, Allison Hayes, I think you said? Something Hayes?
Well, see, I was, let's see.
That'd be great.
Yes, I made a mistake here. So you're right. I'm going to give you credit for that.
Yay!
I was conflating it with The Attack of the 50-Foot Woman versus The Incredible Shrinking Woman. Mm. So I should have said Grant Williams and Lily. Okay. So it should not have been Allison Hayes, but you're right.
Yeah. Okay.
Williams and Lily Tomlin, The Incredible Shrinking Woman, not the Attack of the 50-Foot Woman. So
wasn't Grant Williams in The Incredible Shrinking Man?
That's, yes. Okay. So in other words,
it's very, see, that a slightly different title, but yes. That's great, Kira. Excellent.
Sorry, I was just, I can name so few Lily Tomlin movies that sound like they would
that one. I didn't know they remade that.
All right. So thank you. That was my mistake on that. All right. So there we go. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Is that me?
It is you, I guess.
Seems like it is. I'm hearing it on the radio. Turning off my radio. Okay. Hey, it's Kangs in Oakland.
Hi.
How's it going?
Good.
All right, so I'll make some very wrong guesses on the movies just for fun. They didn't remake The Goonies with Ryan Reynolds as the older brother at some point.
No, they did not.
And
they should have.
Let's see, and there wasn't an earlier Deadpool with James Brolin, huh?
There was not.
Okay, I've got an illegal music question, according to Dana, but I'll ask it.
Yay!
Yes, David, I think it's more of a Kira question. So, what do these musicians have in common? Carl Palmer, at least, what's the thing I'm looking for? Carl Palmer, Brad Delp, Peter Cetera, and Randy Owen.
I only know one of these, and he's the lead singer, or was at some point the lead singer of Chicago. Peter Cetera, right?
Well, Lake and Palmer is the first group, but I don't know if Palmer was the lead singer.
He was also in a super group. I'll give some hints. So he was in a super group that did the song Heat of the Moment.
Oh, shoot. I know that song. I'm sorry. Peter Cetera was in...
You're right with Peter Cetera. You've got the information on Peter Cetera.
Okay.
Laurie said Emerson, Lake, and Palmer, and I'm saying Carl Palmer was also in the band that did Heat of the Moment.
So are these all people in bands named for cities?
That's close.
Ooh, that's good.
Okay.
Randy Owens. Close.
They're named for places, is that it?
Yeah, geographical locations.
Okay.
You've got...
Is one of them the lead singer of Oasis, perhaps? Is that a geographical...
Asia?
Yes. Heat of the Moment was Asia.
It's Asia,
Brad Delp was in the same band as, Tom Schultz?
So are they continents then? Is that it?
No, because Chicago is the
city. You already got the answer. It's geographical locations.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, now we're just trying to figure out the bands.
What the locations are.
So who are the others? So Carl Palmer is Asia. Who are the other two you said?
Brad Delp, and a bonus is he was in the same band with Tom Schultz. Brad Delp's no longer with us. Tom Schultz still has the band.
We need bands named after specific real locations.
Well, that would be like Alabama, Boston.
Yes. Randy Owen, you got it already. Randy Owen is Alabama. Brad Delp is Boston.
Nice work.
Yay.
All right. Good job.
It is a clear question.
Have a good weekend. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Good question. Bye. Even Dana behaved. Yeah.
Yep. And let's see. Danny is suggesting that Robert Donat and Kenneth Moore, that is the 39 Steps, and that is correct.
Ooh,
good job on that. And Chris was wondering if Fresno is one of the flattest cities, and it is. Lori got that. And let's see, what else do I have here? I'll get back to that in a second. Anyway, since we are past halfway, let's quickly repeat any questions that haven't been answered yet. Kira, let's start with you.
Sorry, I'm still thinking of
Antipodean
places. Okay, so I've given you the names of some former or current house brands, and I want you to tell me the retailer. So the ones we have left are Market Pantry, Friendly Farms, Members Mark, Happy Belly, Glacier Bay, and Clover Valley.
I have nothing. You got my Paralympic question, so I am good.
Okay. And I have I'll quickly go through the ones I just had here. Of the six flattest cities in the U.S., two are in California. Lori got Fresno. What is the other one on that list? If you were to dig straight through the center of the earth, starting in Auckland, New Zealand, what other English-speaking area would you end up in? Remember, it's an English-speaking area. And I give you a list of film remakes. I give you the two lead actors in the original and the remake. The ones we have left are James Brolin and Ryan Reynolds, Steve McQueen and Kevin Dillon, Laurence Olivier and Liam Neeson.
I have a guess. I think, Kira, help me. Was Liam Neeson in a remake of Wuthering Heights? I kind of think he was.
I'm going to guess.
He was not. All right.
And how about Bermuda as the opposite of...
Ooh.
Oh, Bermuda. Oh, yeah. Okay. No, not Bermuda.
No, I think I'm still too close to the Prime Meridian, though. But I know it's not... I know it's not the U.S., at least not the continental U.S.
It's not the U.S.
Yeah, I really want it to be in Canada, but... Okay.
Well, maybe if you took a slight deviation and...
Which direction should we go from Canada if we were in
Canada's pretty big. Flies?
Yeah, that's true. Oh, never mind.
I guess we should start in Newfoundland, which was the wrong answer.
Yeah.
All right, keep working.
Okay, all right.
And the two numbers to join us, area code 415-841-4134, or toll-free 866-798-8255. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, good morning. So sadly, our beautiful good friend, Dr. Carol, has passed away. And thank you all for your good wishes and prayer for her. And, you know, that brings a lot of my mind some of my good old friend and professors. Which university was rated the best public university in the United States? What university?
Well, the University of California,
Berkeley.
By Forbes.
Go Bears.
Okay, University of Berkeley. So I'm going to talk about a few of the professors. I was one of their students. And so the two who won the Nobel Prize 1959 for in physics, name both of their names, if you can. I mentioned times before.
1959
Nobel Prize in physics.
Was one Lawrence?
No. Lawrence was long before then.
Okay.
I'm going to answer because I have a couple more people to mention. It was Owen Chamberlain and Owen Chamberlain and Emilio Sergi. Very great professors, and actually their anti-proton collision is the whole basis of whole new nuclear physics that CERN have used, that uses all of the, including discovery of the Higgs particle and all of that. What, by the way, what is the other name for the Higgs particle?
That's not Higgs boson, is it? Or what is
The God particle.
It is
particle.
A boson, yeah.
Higgs God, boson. God particle.
Exactly. What is it?
God particle.
Why do they call it God's particle?
Because when they found it, they said, oh my God.
Very good. That's one answer.
That's true.
The other answer is it does decide what you mass anything in the universe have. So it does give you a decision of that. So other great people in the physics and nuclear engineering department, he became the head deputy director for NASA. Do you know his name? He was the chairman of nuclear engineering department from the mid-60s to late-70s. Do you know his name? Just bring this people name in life.
No, I do not.
Hans Mark, Dr. Hans Mark. He was a great, great, great scientist, was the chairman of nuclear engineering, and also he was deputy director for NASA. Okay, one last question. She was called the mother of nuclear physics. And beautiful lady, she was advocating using nuclear physics for peaceful use like medicine and so on. And what was her name?
Is that your friend, Dr. Carol?
No, Dr. Carol, actually, she was a psychologist.
Oh, all right.
No, that woman was abducted under phony dinner invitation, driven down to Half Moon Bay, and the car where she was riding, driver jumped out, and she was thrown over to the ocean, and she was killed. She was also called the Egyptian mother of nuclear physics.
Well, go ahead and tell us, Ed.
Yeah, Semiramusa, and really that is, in fact, it was August 5th, so it was recently that it was the memorial held for her, and she was living in Garber Street in Berkeley. And, you know, just whole thing just make it very, very small universe. Thank you. Follow the show. Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right. A couple things here. Karen is wondering if Market Pantry is Target, which I believe it is. Mm-hmm.
Yes, Market Pantry is Target.
There you go. Very good. And Mark is wondering if in the movie remakes is Olivier and Neeson in Sleuth. And I don't think so. At least that's not the one I had. I know they did remake Sleuth.
Yeah, I don't think so.
But no. However, Chris is wondering if Steve McQueen and Kevin Dillon, that's the Blob, and that is the Blob. Way, very good.
Mr. Remake.
Yes. So leave that out. And let's see. I'm trying to remember now. Is it your turn, Kira? I think it is.
It's Kira.
All right. Yeah, I'll still do this. So 22 sovereign states currently have national flags that incorporate text. I will give you the English translation of some of this text. You tell me which nation's flag I'm translating. So I'll do five of them. Number one is order and progress. Order and progress. Number two is for gallantry. For gallantry. Number three, further beyond. Number four, let's do unity makes strength. And number five, under the shade I flourish. Under the shade I flourish. So, once again, order and progress, for gallantry, further beyond, unity makes strength, and under the shade I flourish. All of these are phrases, albeit in different languages, on national flags, and I just want you to tell me which nation.
Any of them, is their language English?
No. Okay. No, I take that back. Actually, I think for gallantry is on there in English. In fact, it is, yes.
It is. I know that one. I know this one because it was going to be part of a question I was thinking about asking. That's Malta, isn't mm-hmm. it? That's
it
the
is.
George Cross, which yes. is on, which is awarded to Malta for the heroism of the whole island during World War II.
So nice.
It's on their flag.
That's correct.
You have my guess. I don't have any.
Order and progress, I think, is Brazil.
Yes. Ordem e progresso.
Right.
Order and progress.
Like the soup. Correct. There you go. I think those are the only two I know.
Yep. And I don't.
Give the other ones once more, please.
Sure. The ones that are left are under the shade I flourish, further beyond, and unity makes strength. And I will tell you that two of those are in Latin and one of them is in yet another language. I will not give it away quite yet.
Oh, baby. Okay. And Lori, why don't you go ahead?
All right. Well, I ask a version of this question every year when school starts, and here's my version this year. I believe as of Tuesday, all the schools will be back in session. Private schools in California, private universities, which are the four with the highest tuition and fees right now? And as soon as you get one of them, I'm going to add to that question. So which four private universities in California have the highest fees and tuition?
I mean, Stanford's got to be one, right?
It's not. It's fallen off. It's fallen to fifth. That's why I asked for the top four.
Is USC one?
USC is number one, which is now $72,000 a year. And as I'm throwing in the other questions, I want to compare it to Berkeley, San Francisco State, and DVC. So the UC system, State University, and Community College, if you get those in. But USC is the top rank, has the
most. But you know, if your tuition. Parents can donate $500 million to get their dumb child
helps.
In, then what's $72,000?
Quite a bit less.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we're looking for three more private schools, and then what it is for UC schools, the state university system, and the community college, which are pretty much all the same.
So Stanford is not one of the top.
Stanford is just off the list at 68,000.
Off the list.
So there's three in between USC and Stanford.
So, interesting. We have USC. Is Pepperdine or the Claremont colleges?
Both. Pepperdine is second at 70,000.
Right.
And Claremont McKenna is fourth with just above 68,000. So if we're looking for one more.
It was a lot less. Joanne just suggested Caltech.
Yeah, it's not in the top four.
No. Okay.
That surprised me too. So we're looking at another one at about 70,000. And then if you want to weigh in on the UC system, CSU system, and community college system to be a full-time student, to compare them to the approximately 70,000, that would be great.
All right. All right. Right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello, is this, am I on?
You are on, yes.
My name is John Hughes. I live in Berkeley.
Hi, John.
And my first question is, it's an answer, which is London. The opposite side of the earth from Auckland is London.
Well, it is not, that is not the answer to, if you were to dig straight through the earth, you're
right.
You're in a reasonable area to
Scotland. Edinburgh.
Not Scotland. No, not Edinburgh. So, but you're right that it's English speaking.
My other question is that the name of the sea that the Thwaites Glacier slides into every 100,000 years rhymes with the sea that is between Alaska and Russia. What's the
name of
the
Bering Sea is what you're... Right. It has to be something that rhymes with Bering Sea.
You know, completely different explorer. But if that guy had a house in Germany, what would it be called?
This is a very convoluted question.
Sounds like a puzzle question.
Exactly.
All right, start it again.
Name of the sea that the Thwaites Glacier falls into at sea every 100,000 years, causing the oceans to rise. Mm-hmm. What's the name of the sea? So you got it right. Bering is the sea up north. The sea down south is what? And then a bonus question is, if the name of the sea north of Iceland that the Greenland Grip Glacier falls into, what do you name that? What's the name of that glacier in Inuit, Danish, and Icelandic, which I cannot pronounce?
Well, that helps.
But the really? Name of the sea... That Dana, you call it the Doomsday Glacier.
Wait, did I?
Which I can't pronounce. What's the name of the sea that the Thwaites Glacier falls into?
The only sea I can think of that's north of Iceland is the Greenland Sea.
Right, exactly. Well, it has a Danish name and has an Inuit name.
Yeah, I would not know what those are. So
you can't pronounce them.
I think the Danish name would just be basically Groenland, right?
Asking that the name of the sea that the Thwaites Glacier falls into on the edge of the Antarctic Ocean.
Yeah, that I don't know. All I can think of is McMurdo Sound. But
it rhymes with Bering. I will guess Waring.
I'm going with Herring. Herring
rhymes with Bering, but if a German guy had a house, what would you call it?
Oh, Bering. There is a... No, wait a minute.
So if you were a German guy with a house, so Bering House, Waring House, West... No.
Waring House, Bering. First guess is close.
You're right, Carrie. It's a W-E-H-Y or something like that. Yeah, warehouse? No.
No, Bering.
Oh, is it? Okay, all right.
Bering had a house in Germany. He was German.
Right.
What would you call his home?
No, we can't go any further.
Beringhausen.
Beringhausen, okay.
The Thwaites Glacier falls into the Beringhausen Sea every 100,000 years. And
let's
that
wait
raises
for
the ocean level. Beringhausen.
All right.
Thank you very much. Question. Bye bye. And okay, let's see. What time is it here? Do I have time to throw in anything? Let's see. All right. What were the last winning president and vice president to come from states with a common border? What were the last winning president and vice president to come from states with a common border? You know, think it over.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. And let's go to a call.
Kara, I have a quick question for Kara.
Hi, you're on my super matter.
Does Tennessee border Arkansas? Okay. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, are you there, caller?
Wait.
Yeah.
Hello?
Hello?
Wait a minute.
Okay.
Are you there, caller?
I'm here.
Okay, go ahead, please. I'm sorry about that.
I apologize.
Okay. How many presidents have been granted a United States patent, and what were they for?
Well, Lincoln was, and that was for something to do with navigating a...
Yeah, like lock
boat,
system.
A flat bottom barge or boat.
Close. It's for lifting boats over shoals. And that was only Lincoln.
Only Lincoln, okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I'm sorry.
We ought to have more presidents have U.S. patents. It would be a technically more interesting country. Thank you.
I'm sure you're right about that.
So,
thank you very much. I appreciate it.
We have a guest on the border, president, yes. Vice president.
Yes, go ahead.
Clinton Gore.
Yes, 92. Yes. Tennessee and Arkansas.
Thanks, Gore.
All right. Good job. And next call, please. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yeah. Good morning, people. Hope everyone's happy.
Hi. Hey, haven't heard from you in a while. There you go.
But they finally let me out.
Yeah.
I'm a bit exhausted at the moment. I had to blow up my inflatable globe and figure out what the other side of the world is. And I came to Spain, and then I saw English, so it must be Gibraltar.
It is indeed Gibraltar, yes.
Oh.
You were to dig
okay.
straight through the center of the earth, starting in Auckland, New Zealand, you would end up in Gibraltar. Yes.
Very nice.
Well,
good job.
Now I'm not going to deflate my globe. I'm going to put it somewhere and admire it. Once again, a wonderful show, and it's great to talk to you guys finally again.
Thank you. And please call again.
Bye-bye.
I want to give credit to Kelly, who also came up with the Rock of Gibraltar. So very good. Thank you for that. And yes, let's see. Deb is wondering, is Glacier Bay, you said Glacier Bay, right? That was one of your prints?
I did.
Home Depot.
I'm sorry, who said that?
Deb.
Deb. Deb is correct. It is Home Depot.
All right, there we go. Good. Nice. And let's see. Let me just check on this. Oh, yes. And Tristan came up with Laurence Olivier and Liam Neeson. Were they both in Rob Roy? No, they were not both in Rob Roy. Sorry about that. And we got Market Pantry, right?
Yes.
Did we get Market Pantry?
Okay. We did, but you can give it again.
Okay, Karen got that. And, oh, here we go. Kelly was wondering if Laurence Olivier and Liam Neeson were both in Clash of the Titans, and that is correct. Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Clash of the Titans, they both played Zeus.
Oh, of all the ones I should have gotten.
They both played Zeus, is that right?
Yes, both played Zeus.
Who was that? You said Kelly?
Yeah, Kelly.
Yeah, nice job, Kelly.
Yes.
Typecasting for both of them, I think.
Yeah. Well, all right. Okay. And next call, please. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Oh, hi. It's Tom in Southern California.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. Is the other flattest city, is that Sacramento?
It is not Sacramento, but it's close to Sacramento.
Close to Sacramento.
Well,
Davis?
Reasonably close to Sacramento. Yeah.
Davis.
No.
Roseville.
No. Fireball. No.
Fireball. Redding.
No.
No. Okay. I don't know any place else that's anywhere near Sacramento, unfortunately. And I couldn't hear. Did you get the common border presidents?
We did. We did. It was Arkansas and Tennessee. Clinton and
Gore. Oh, yeah. Clinton and Gore. Okay. And then I have a question. I guess I'll ask a couple of pairs of actors who are playing the same role of real people. You can give me the movies and the actor or and the person they played. So I'll have Telly Savalas and Michael Palin.
So they both played, they're playing a real person? Did you say that?
Yeah. Yes.
The same person in two different movies, right?
Yes.
I have no idea, but the answer is going to be amazing if both Telly Savalas and Michael Palin played them.
So did Michael Palin play it in a feature film or maybe on Monty Python? Yes.
No, feature film.
Feature film.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so this would be a Roman emperor.
Yeah.
Most likely.
Oh, very good.
How about Nero? Nero.
No.
Okay.
So it's Roman, Life of Brian, I guess, huh? And
yeah. Or,
right, it's Life of Brian. Is that correct?
Yes, Life of Brian. And who do you play?
It can't be Claudius because I know he played it with a speech.
No, not a Nero. Yeah.
How about Pontius Pilate?
That's correct.
Yeah.
And Telly Savalas was Pontius Pilate in?
In the King of Kings? Or was it greatest story ever told?
Yeah, greatest story ever told.
Okay, all right. One of those extremely boring films.
Okay, and then one other would be Conan O'Brien and Jared Harris.
Oh, did they both play Grant?
No.
Or, I know Conan O'Brien's a big Lincoln buff. Was it something in Civil War related?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
Look at the time. We got just a few minutes, seconds.
Conan O'Brien.
I have no idea. I don't know Conan O'Brien's film.
No, he's made so few feature films.
I didn't know he made any.
I don't know. Don't know.
It's Andy Warhol. Jared Harris was in I Shot Andy Warhol, and Conan O'Brien was in the Weird Al movie, Weird.
Oh, I forgot that he was in that.
Kira, that's your wheelhouse.
I know. That's that great. Really is.
The Bermuda Schwartz house.
It is. I need to see that.
And then there's also another famous person who played both Warhol and Pontius Pilate in major movies.
Wow.
Is it Warhol. Bill Hader?
No.
Okay.
Warhol and
Wow. Pilate. There's more than one person that played Warhol and Pontius Pilate. No, we don't know.
Okay, he also played Nikola Tesla.
David Bowie?
David Bowie is correct.
Oh,
nice.
Bowie was Warhol in the Basquiat movie and Pontius Pilate in The Last Temptation of Christ.
We have to wrap up now, so thank you very much, John. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Those are fun.
Bye. All right, time to clean up here. Kira, what do you got?
All right, Friendly Farms is Aldi, Members Mark is Sam's Club, Happy Belly is Amazon, and Clover Valley is Dollar General. The flags under the shade I flourish, that is Sub Umbra Floreo, and that's the flag of Belize. Further beyond, that is Plus Ultra, that is Spain, and Unity Makes Strength, I'm not going to attempt the French, that is Haiti.
All right.
The private university in California we're missing is Harvey Mudd at $69,000. Mm-hmm. And to compare, UC Berkeley is $17,000, San Francisco State $7,500, and the best bargain in the entire world are community colleges, which are about $1,100 to be a full-time student for the year. That's
all right. Six flattest cities in the U.S., two are in California. Lori got Fresno. The other is Stockton, California. Mm-hmm. Stockton, California. The film remakes, nobody got James Brolin and Ryan Reynolds. You're going to kick yourself here. The Amityville Horror.
Oh, of course.
And I think that was it. All the other ones forgot. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we didn't get your call. I do apologize. Please remember that Minds Ever Matter is here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. We do hope you enjoyed the show. We certainly enjoy hearing from you. Thanks to Kira Pace, technical editor, Lori Fisher, teacher at Dabo Valley College, which is why he's pushing community college stuff. And I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Thanks to Joanne Marr for handling the board and phones. And above all, our thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call. And have a great week. Please join us next Saturday morning at 10. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.